I was in Aladdin was one of the first films I saw at cinema, and I thought, a Clements.
Ah, yes.
This is so cool.
Yes,
yeah.
Wait, what's your Canadian or something?
That's on my mother's side, though, okay. So I'm not. But who knows?
We should look at the family tree.
Yeah.
Look at the
maybe
chart.
There's some overlap somewhere, yes.
Write Christmas plans.
Yes, right. Yes.
At least a Christmas card list, yeah.
And now it's time for the Picture House Podcast with your hosts, Sam and Simon. Please ensure that your mobile phone is switched off, refrain from smoking, and keep conversation to a minimum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show!
Thank you very much for talking to us today, guys. We're really looking forward to playing Moana in our cinemas. It's kind of a really great time of year to release this film.
Yeah, certainly the holidays in Britain, I think it's kind of a special tradition, and we were just in Paris, likewise at the Grand Rex Theatre, which is a big tradition in Paris. So yeah, it's fun. Disney in the holidays.
We bring a little summer to winter.
Yeah,
I think,
to with some gray
the,
days perhaps.
The Pacific
the UK,
Ocean and the beaches and the sun and
a little escape.
Much needed, I think. I felt so good after seeing the film the other night. I sort of was just like walking on cloud nine on the way out.
That's great. That's good to hear.
So when did you know Moana would be your next film? And you know, what was the sort of the initial seed?
It was about 5 years ago, and we were casting about for new ideas, and I was intrigued by the Pacific Islands. Never a movie had been set there, really in kind of the Tahiti area of the Pacific. And I had never been there, but I had read novels set there and seen paintings by Paul Gauguin. It seemed like a very inviting landscape. So that led me to read Polynesian mythology 5 years ago, and I discovered in reading it, this character of Maui, this culture hero, shapeshifter, demigod, had a magical fishhook like Thor's hammer. He pulled up islands with that. He could change into animals. And he was a trickster and had tattoos that told his story. All these great visual things that seemed like, why has this not been done? And I'm glad it hasn't. And we ought to do it. And so I shared that with Ron. And we pitched an idea to John Lasseter at that point, built around Maui. And he liked the arena, liked the idea of Maui, but he said, you've got to dig deeper into the research. So we were forced to go to Tahiti and Samoa and Fiji for about 3 weeks, where we did sort of a deeper dive into the culture. And that really changed a lot of our thinking about the movie itself.
Yeah, we really learned a lot on that trip about the history of navigation and how these were the world's greatest navigators, how they could find their way throughout the ocean just using dead reckoning, where you look at the stars and the currents. We learned about their deep connection to the ocean. They talked about the ocean as if it were alive, like it were a real person, their connection to nature, their connection to their ancestors. And we were very very moved by the whole experience, I think. And so when we got back from that trip, we kind of jettisoned the original story. We kept Maui, but he was about the only thing that we kept. And then we brought in this new character, Moana, this young teenage girl who feels this deep connection to her past, who is on a quest to save her world and has to team up with Maui to do that.
Yeah, we saw it as kind of a True Grit type story, where this indomitable young woman hooks up with a kind of, down on his luck former hero that she needs to accomplish her mission. And so there's an element of True Grit in all this.
I think there's that. It is a classic kind of hero's journey story.
It is. It is a Joseph Campbell kind of hero's journey, all those sort of steps. And it was great doing it with a female protagonist and really without any romance in the story and really letting her drive it. And it's her sort of digging deep within herself. That's really the story. It isn't so much finding a guy or anything like that. This is a different kind of story.
How do you, going on these trips and getting all of this information, how do you sort of process that and put it into this, this three-act structure?
Well, the truth is, when we got back from the trip, before we went into the story, we just kind of, first we presented the trip in a way. We had an hour-long pitch of things that we learned and ideas, specific ideas that we wanted to be in the movie.
And pitched it to John Lasseter.
Then it was coming up with a narrative that would incorporate those ideas. Certainly navigation was something we wanted to get into the story, so we built it around that. The other thing that we built around was this 1,000-year gap, which we learned about, the migration of the Pacific Islands started in New Guinea about 4,000 years ago, but then when it reached the areas of around Tonga and Fiji and Samoa, everything stopped for 1,000 years, and to this day, no one knows why it stopped.
Wow.
But they didn't voyage. They didn't voyage. It stopped about 3,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, it started up again, and that's when they went to Tahiti and around to Hawaii and New Zealand. And still, no one knows. There are theories, but no one knows. So we thought, we came up with our own theory, a kind of fantasy theory, that what if it stopped because of the actions of a demigod, and which is based a little on, there's a myth of Maui that kind of relates to that, and what if it started again because of the actions of a 16-year-old girl.
It's kind of nice having that to fill in the
history. Sort of, yeah, kind of create an imaginary reason for a real historical fact, yeah.
When you're writing the scripts, how do you know, you know, where to, like, plan the songs in the movie? Because they're so important. You know, to
they're really important. And early on, we really try and get the musicians involved as early as we can, although as the story changes, the songs change. So we did have some songs that were written that didn't make the final cut because, oops, the story changed. And, well, you know that song you wrote? We're not going to use that one, but we need a new one now. So it was ongoing. The first song that was written was the We Know the Way song, because we always knew we wanted a song that celebrates navigation and voyaging, and for people that aren't familiar with voyaging, what could we do that would show the exhilaration of being out on the open sea, the kind of majestic quality of that, and really pull the audience in? And Opetai Fawai'i started that song and wrote it with lyrics in, you know, Pacific Island languages, Samoan and Tokelauan, that really created a color and an emotion and a mood that we knew, no matter where it fell in the story, we needed to put that over to the audience.
And then Lynn joined Opetai, Mark Mancina joined. Actually, they all met together in New Zealand about...
it was in March of 2014 at the Pacifica Music Festival. It's a bi-yearly festival drawing from all the islands of the Pacific. So they have the Cook Islands and the Solomons and Samoa and Tahiti. And so both Lynn and Opetai and Mark Mancina, who worked on The Lion King and was sort of the musical glue between those guys, they met there and then went into a studio in Auckland and began work on that song, and then continued at Mark's studio in Carmel in California.
Originally, that song was going to open the movie. Uh-huh. And as the story developed and things shifted around, the movie opens differently now. It opens with a story about Maui, and that moved later, and part of that, I think John Lasseter felt there was value in moving that song later so it could be shown through Moana's point of view, because I think he's very that
as much as you can to tell the story through the eyes of the protagonist. He feels it helps you identify with them and throws you into the movie better and really makes you relate emotionally. And I think he was right. I think it really was much better in that other spot than at the beginning where we had it originally.
No, I think so. I completely agree. It's also nice to work up to, you know, like the musical numbers get sort of bigger and bigger.
They do, yeah. So it gives you a ramp into that. You don't start with you play your biggest card first, and then where do you go from there?
Yeah. Even with Little Mermaid, working with Howard Ashman, he talked about it, and we learned a lot from Howard, but also I think we felt too that songs are important in terms of advancing the story and moving the story along. An unsuccessful musical is one, I think, where the story goes and it stops and people sing and then it starts up again, and it's tougher to weave the songs in a way that keep telling the story, but certainly Lynn was great. We actually met with Lynn about 3 years ago before anyone knew about Hamilton. We certainly didn't know about Hamilton, and I think we were just so impressed with him. He was smart and had great ideas and very, very passionate. And he only just sort of very briefly he mentioned this other thing that he was working on.
Yeah. In passing, sort of. Yeah, this little throwaway
for public theater, hip hop, founding fathers. We didn't know what to make of that.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
That'll never see the light of day, but here we go. And the rest is history, literally, yeah.
One of my favorite characters in the film is Hi-Hi.
The rooster. Yeah, he almost got cut for a while in the movie because there was the pig that was cute, and then Hey-Hey was kind of ornery and cranky, but he didn't do much more than that. And he was semi-funny, but not as funny as he needed to be. So there's a question, either make him funnier or get rid of him. And so there was an 11th hour kind of thing, and one of the story guys did a drawing of him and sort of took his IQ meter and went way down like this and played the eyes on inside of his head and did some gag drawings that showed how he could be more of an obstacle to Moana if he was an idiot. And so we We like idiots, and we find them amusing.
I think
maybe
the stupidest character in the history of Disney animation. Yeah. And there have been some stupid characters, but Hey Hey may take. And then when we saved Hey Hey, everyone celebrated with a chicken dinner.
Yeah, so the story artist, we had a chicken dinner. It seemed fitting somehow.
I think he just works in that dynamic. You know, he's the he's sort of the who's Moana so efficient.
Yeah, it's a counterpoint, really. So he's a foil to her, and it's always good to have some kind of foil to a character. Yeah.
Cool, that's fantastic. I think we need to wrap up, but thank you so much for talking to me today.
Okay.
And great to meet my distant relative.
Okay, one Clements to another.
I'll check.
Check the register.
There's got to be a connection.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week. We'll be right back.